Good afternoon, New York, and the rest of our listeners around the globe. My name is June Stoyer, and I'm the host of the Organic Bee Radio Show. Our podcast is available on iTunes, Zune, and you can also visit our website at www.theorganicbee.com. If you have any questions for our guests, there are many ways you can contact the show. You can post a question on our wall on Facebook, Skype us, send us a tweet on Twitter to @TheOrganicView, or you can contact me directly at June Stoyer. If you'd like to be on the show or would like to find out about sponsorship opportunities, please contact us at questions@TheOrganicView.com. Today my guest is Donna Blinston, and we're going to be talking about resolving conflicts with your father using NLP. Now, here in America, this weekend, we are celebrating Father's Day, which is not always easy for many people. If you're looking for ways to improve your relationship with your father and communicate more effectively, or perhaps understand the reasons behind events that have happened in the past, there's a technique called NLP that can be of great value. NLP stands for Neuro-Linguistic Programming, and it's an approach to communication, personal development, and psychotherapy, which was created back in the 1970s. The title actually refers to a stated connection between the neurological processes, hence neuro, language, linguistic, and behavioral patterns that have been learned through experience programming and can be organized to achieve specific goals in your life. As you know, relationships are complex. The emotions that surround them often cloud the reality of the actual event that happened. By comprehending different perspectives, especially your father's, you will be able to see things quite differently, and this will enable you to review the impact that your behavior has made upon the events or event and allow you to start healing the wounds that were created. NLP enables you to look at the relationship with your father, whether or not he's alive or has passed. My guest today, Donna Blinston, she is an author of a best-selling book that is called Psychobabble, which actually explains all of the technical terms about NLP and really puts them into layman's terms. It's a practical textbook that really breaks down everything so that you can really understand all of the different techniques and also apply them. I personally find NLP to be absolutely amazing. A very good friend of mine introduced it to me several months ago, the ability and the opportunity to not only meet Donna Blinston, but work with her is just tremendous. She actually has quite a background. She's a registered nurse with a specialty in gastroenterology, the liver, and with bloodborne viruses. She's really, really dedicated to helping people, especially people that are very ill. And as a certified trainer of NLP, she's been able to use the tools and techniques that she's learned to build not only a professional relationship with her patients and enhance their lives, but also to promote good health and well-being. She's also incorporated her training to help people in other areas, such as leadership, self-help, dealing with phobias and fears, as well as practice, development, and also life coaching. So I would like to welcome to the show Donna Blinston. Good evening, Donna.
Good evening.
And Donna, you are in Wales, is that correct?
It is, yes. Wales, United Kingdom.
It is so great to have you on the show today. And once again, folks, the fact that through technology, we are able to connect with so many of our featured guests, as well as our audience, which is located all over the world instantly, it's just tremendous. And then all the feedback, especially through social media, through Skype, email, what have you, it is just amazing how many people are really looking for quality information that they can actually apply and utilize in their own lives as well as the lives of their families and friends. So, Donna, it is fabulous that I can actually talk to you tonight, spend an hour of your time talking about something that I personally think is tremendous. It's been tremendously effective in my own life. I'm just so excited to have this opportunity to talk about a subject that for many people can be very painful. Here in the United States, we have many different holidays, but Mother's Day, Father's Day, the days that are specifically focused on a parent can often be quite challenging. Donna, can you tell our audience just a little bit about your own history and how you became involved with the whole process of using NLP and what NLP has actually done for yourself.
Oh, NLP has transformed me in so many ways. I found NLP through my nursing career. I had qualified in 2004, and the manager that I had at the time was a very passionate and strong, well, what I actually thought at the time of quite a battle axe of a manager. She was so obsessed with your personal development, and you had to prove that you were continuing to develop. So I read this little article in a magazine saying that there was a four-day NLP diploma that covered all six of our core skills with regards to communication, leadership, management, personal development, people development. And I thought, wow, 4 days, that's a whole year's worth of CPD, continuous professional development, done, which was, to be honest, the only reason why I went on the course. And the course just bowled me over. It transformed so much about me, my insight and awareness about myself, how I communicated, my relationships, the goals and what I was focusing on. It gave me more clarity. And that in itself transformed my personal and professional life. So I went on from there to do the practitioner course in NLP, which again just opened up so many more doors. From a work perspective, my work was easier. I loved my job. I've always loved nursing. But I had more focus. I knew what I wanted. I knew what was important. And whereas before I was quite shy and I wouldn't have said boost for goose, really, I had a voice. I knew that what I knew was right, that I had something to say, that what I had to say was important and people should listen to me. I wasn't prepared to just sit back and shy away in the corner. And it was the confidence that the NLP had given me and the tools to communicate more effectively. It also enabled me to look at things from multiple perspectives. And by looking at the different perspectives, I was able to understand why people behaved in certain ways, why they reacted in that way, why my communication wasn't effective, because sometimes it's not that it's easier, really, to blame the other person. But sometimes it's actually the way you've communicated. And by changing yourself, you'll automatically influence and change things around you. From work, they asked me to go on to take a more senior post, which I did. I went up a grade. My personal relationships were transforming. So I went on to the Master Practitioner course, which just, well, that was it. I was bowled completely over. Everything started to change. I was asked to do training courses within the different departments. I was offered the Acting Sisters post, which I took. And again, more and more things were happening. Because of that, I decided that, you know, I wanted to make this on a bigger scale. My passion for nursing and looking after patients, even at a sister's level, was only affecting the ward's worth of patients. And the way I saw it was, if I was able to teach people the tools of NLP with leadership, management and communication, I'd be able to reach even more patients. So I opened up my business in Inspirational Solutions in 2008. I went on to do the trainer's training so that I could certify people when they came on my courses. And that just opened up even more doors. And they just kept on opening. I decided that I'd write a book. I'd move to Wales. I'd build a house. I'd get married. Everything transformed because I think it boils down to the belief, I suppose, that possible in the world is possible for me. It's just a matter of how. And knowing that, and that if I were to fail at something, that it's okay, there was nothing stopping me. And the only thing really that would stop me is myself. Obviously with a common sense bracket around that. But that just, it just carried on going. And because of that, I'm reaching a lot more patients. The patients that I work with in my current role as a bloodborne viruses nurse specialist, it's helped them a lot. It's enabled me to build relationships, to be able to look into their world, which is a world that I was completely naive to previously, but respect their world, where they've come from, build a rapport, and start to work with them to enhance their lives.
Can you explain how people can actually utilize NLP for relationships. What can they expect by utilizing something like NLP for the purpose of improving upon a very damaged relationship, especially one such as with a parent?
There's two sides to this answers, really, to this question. There's one side where they could use the NLP for themselves, and by that I mean that a lot of times when there's been problems and disappointments in a relationship, especially in childhood, a way that a child will protect themselves is almost to split off that unpleasant emotion, and they form a part. Have you heard the saying where you put it in a box and you ignore it? It's almost like you put it on the shelf and you ignore it, and it's a way of protecting yourself. So it could be a case of one of the reasons why the relationship's still a problem is even though they've put that negative emotion or that trauma from the past into the box, it's still there and it's still playing on the mind. So it could be that the child, as an adult now, would then use the techniques of NLP to look at what happened in those events, to look at what happened in the events, look at their role and the different things that were happening. Because one thing that we do is whenever something's happening that's particularly negative, there's so many negative emotions that are charged around it that often that causes a mist, and the emotions are actually bigger than the event that actually happened. I suppose that's where the saying making a mountain out of a molehill comes from.
Ah.
And I'm not to say that some things that will have happened to people are the mountain. It's not made from a molehill, but certainly with some people, the emotions that they've attached to it have clouded their judgment. And because they're a lot younger, they might have seen things through younger, naiver eyes. Whereas now when they go back to look at it through older eyes, with more life experience and more of a skill set, if we take away those emotions, they might find that there's things that happened at that time that now that they know that would change their perception of what happened back in the event. So that's one way, would be to directly work with that person and also look at if it's a case that whatever has happened has caused problems with their confidence, with the way they present themselves, their self-esteem, their self-belief. If it's things like that, we can work with them using NLP. There's multiple different tools that will help to boost all that for them. The other side then is that we could use NLP to look at directly at the relationship between them, where we'd still be working with the child as the adult now, but we'd be looking at the father and the father's role within that, and we'd get the child to literally step into the shoes of the father and see things from his perspective, and the tools that you'd use then would go along those lines.
Donna, one of the things that I would like to do is talk about a couple of examples that are very common issues that people have with parents, especially with fathers. And I'm going to read the description of the example, and I would like for you to explain exactly the method for helping that person to repair that damage. So I would like to begin with example one, which basically is about when a parent cheats.
Okay.
The case is Tony. He's 36 years old. He's happily married with two beautiful children. He owns his own construction company and lives a very comfortable life. Some people might say he had the perfect life, but Tony knows that this is far from true. His multiple internal conflicts due to the relationship between he and his father that stem back to events from his childhood. Although Tony was never treated badly by his father, his parents were unhappily married. Tony's father was unfaithful to his mother, which led inevitably to a divorce. As a child, this really hit Tony hard. He was only 14 years old, and although he had a lot of friends when the divorce happened, it really turned his world upside down. He no longer felt like he fit in, nor had a sense of belonging. Tony lost all respect for his father when he found out about the infidelity. He hated him for what he had done to his mother, who was completely devastated. Time passed and life returned to a new level of normalcy, which included visits from his father or visiting with his father two evenings a week, as well as every other weekend. Tony knew that his father loved him quite dearly, and although he continued to provide for him and for his sister, Tony just could not forgive him. He saw his father as a cheat and knew that the only reason that they split was because his mother caught them together. Tony resented his father's partner and to this day does not trust his father. Tony is also a father at this point in his life, and he would never do anything to risk his family breaking up. He knows that relationships are hard, and if they had split up due to it just not working, he would have been okay and able to accept that, but the cheating is what caused Tony to have absolutely no respect for his father. And, you know, this particular person is dealing with the inability to just have a tolerable relationship with his father. So, Donna, can you explain exactly when you work with patients that are dealing with this situation, exactly what it is that they are dealing with and how you would go about helping them?
It is a problem with regards to this, because one of the most important influences that a father can have on the child is indirect. And if the relationship between the mother and father is rocky, then that in itself will cause problems for the child, especially then when it's added up where they split up, especially through cheating. And I totally understand, and I've seen many times the same situation. And one of the techniques that we often do is a technique called perceptual positions, where we'll look at the child, so for Tony, we'd look at Tony and his situation and get him to imagine his father. If you imagine like a triangle, we'd have Tony in one corner of the triangle, which I'm going to call position one, and looking at the opposite side of the triangle is what we'll call position two, and it'd be there that I'd put his father. I'd ask Tony to say everything that he wanted to his father, because a lot of these emotions that Tony will be having and the disrespect that he's got for him, well, possibly because he's never been able to get out of his system exactly how hurt he's been by it and what he feels, especially with him being younger, he might not have felt he could have articulated himself properly, and there'll be a lot of questions that he wasn't able, his linguistic abilities wouldn't have, and life experience wouldn't have enabled him to ask. So now that he's older, being able to literally just throw it, all the cards on the table over at his father in position two, his father wouldn't actually be there. It would just be an imaginary image of his father would be over in position two. Once Tony has got all that out, all those emotions out, we then go across, and I'd ask Tony to become his father, and I would want him to act like his father, talk like his father, stand like his father. And then from being in his father's shoes, we'd then ask him to, as he's heard his son, Tony, speaking, what is he feeling? And from this position, we call this second position, because you're stepping into the world of the other person. And fair enough, you won't know exactly what they're thinking, and we can't ever know exactly what the other person's thinking. But by being in that position and just gaining some insights will enable us to move closer than what we were before. It'll give us some answers that we might not have acknowledged, because often we've seen the answers, but because it's easier to blame, we don't acknowledge them.
Mm.
It's a bit like when somebody gives you advice, it's all right for them to give you advice, but they don't actually know, they're not in your situation. Whereas if you're giving yourself advice, that's totally different. So once we've been in position one and position two, we then take Tony into position three, which is the top of the triangle. And from this position, he's, if you like, a wise old owl in a tree, or any senior figure or hero or somebody that Tony feels that he'd look up to. And from being in that position, he'd look down on himself in position two as Tony and down on his father in position two as his father and notice things between the relationship. He'd give advice to Tony and give advice to his father. And the role of the NLP from here is just to facilitate a conversation between the two people. And this is where a lot of learnings will be coming from, because from this side, the facilitator is really looking to bring out ways in which you could move the relationship forward. So it could be that they go and they talk, or they arrange for an evening out or whatever is appropriate, really, from what they've spoken about. Once they've got loads of insights, they then go back to position one and look back at how Tony's now feeling after he's viewed things from multiple perspectives.
Now, with people that are dealing with that particular type of an issue, does it also affect their relationship with their spouse? And by utilizing the NLP techniques, do you need the spouse to participate in the therapy, or will it have a positive impact on the existing relationship that that child has in their adult existence?
They don't need the spouse to be there. It's very much working with Tony, so working with the child as in the adult form now. The whole principle around the technique is that by changing your own behaviour, you're automatically going to change the way that other people perceive you.
Mm-hmm.
So even though there might be an attitude and a lack of communication, a breakdown in relationship between both of them, that possibly will be meeting somewhere in the middle, but by Tony almost softening his side and opening up more to possibilities of changing and having more understanding, he's going to perceive what his father says differently. And that's where improvements start to be made within the relationship. By Tony changing and working on himself, he will see things differently that his father says. Because if you imagine yourself, if somebody's done something wrong to you, then whatever they do in the future, you're always going to think of that thing they've done wrong. That's always going to play on your mind. So whatever they do say, you're going to have a negative viewpoint on it, or you'll look for things that you can pick holes into it with. Whereas if you've taken away the negative emotion that's attached to the event in the past, you're going to be more open to see both sides of what they now say to you. You'll be more willing to listen. You'll be more willing to integrate what's been said. And it'd be more of an easier, freer conversation, where previously you'd almost have the, I'm not really interested, I'm busy, I need to get on.
Mm.
Whereas because you've changed the way you perceive them, and you're almost chipping away that wall that he's put up to protect himself, in losing respect for a parent, it's hard, and he'll have learnt how to behave towards his father for, I can't remember how old you said he was. Is he 36? 36. So from being 14, he's had
40.
20. So from 40.
Excuse me. He's 36. I'm sorry.
That's
40.
from being 14 years old to him now being 36, that's 22 years of not respecting his father. So there's a lot of time and a lot of things that will have happened since then, which will almost fulfill his beliefs around his father, which is linking to your self-fulfilling prophecies. You know, you see what you look at. So there'll be a lot of work, not just on what's happened in the past, but the initial things that happened in the past, but all the things that are in between.
Thank you. The next case that I have pertains to children who have parents or a parent that's an alcoholic.
Okay.
Now, this case, Tracy is 40 years old. She's the CEO of a healthcare organization. Father's Day is looming, and despite her love for her father, she's always grieved when she reads the words of Father's Day cards because none of them relate to her father. Her father was an alcoholic, and despite all the support that he had, he would always return to the bottle rather than his family. Tracy, as a child, took this very personally, and although she now knows that alcoholism is a disease, she blames him for the family breaking up and for all of her relationship problems. Although her father stopped drinking about 5 years ago and has started a new life for himself, while she's happy for him, she still harbors resentment for the fact that he didn't do this when she was younger. How would you deal with a situation like Tracy?
I would look at it from very similar lines. One of the main things, especially when there's an alcohol involved, as with possibly Tony, but more so with alcohol, it's the impact that the father has on the psychological well-being and the social behaviour. There's a lot of research and evidence that has been done that shows that children whose fathers are more involved are more likely to be emotionally secure, been more confident, and that's with around other children, around their own area, being more psychosocially able than children who haven't got a father that's around as much. And certainly when there's alcohol involved, even if the father is physically there, he's not always actually there because of being drunk with the alcohol. We'd look at things from, in the same way we did with Tony, look using perceptual positions. It's a safe technique that you can use that will give you a gauge of the relationships at and maybe highlight specific areas that she wanted to look at particularly. We would possibly look from that into where she wants to improve the relationship.
Mm.
I believe you said that she's, one of the things was, even though he'd started a new life, he stopped drinking within his new life and he started a new family, did you say?
Yes.
So there's obviously, there's going to be jealousy there as well. So it could be as much the resentment that she's got towards him for what happened when she was younger, but also a resentment towards his new potential wife or any other potential siblings that she might have through there. So it could be that we look at the relationships of the mother-in-law, the sister or brother-in-laws, as well as her relationship with her father. And then with regards to where she's got lacking in confidence and blames her father for the breakup and all of her current relationship problems, we will look at any decisions that she's made within her life that represent the decisions that her father had made.
Mm.
She might be holding a lot of limiting beliefs about herself that because her father was drinking and wasn't there and wasn't attentive when she was younger, that she doesn't deserve possibly or isn't allowing herself to have that same happiness. It could be that she's trying to protect herself. It could be that because of what she maybe have seen her mum go through with her father, she's not allowing herself to get into a relationship in case somebody that she's with starts drinking and she ends up going round in the same circles. So there are multiple different areas that we'd look at. A lot of it will be around looking at her relationship directly, most probably using the perceptual positions technique that I've just said. And we'd look at goals. We'd look at maybe doing some anchoring for her confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Looking directly at her relationships and what her beliefs are, identifying any limiting beliefs and then changing them, and looking back at the root cause as to what where they're actually stemming from.
Thank you. It's very difficult to say how a disease, especially one like alcoholism or even drug dependency, can really impact you.
Awful.
My next case that I'd like to ask you to talk about is a gentleman named Graham who's 25 years old. He's been working as a physical education teacher for the last 3 years, and he fully understands how an unstructured and unbalanced life can negatively impact a child. Many of his students do not have parents that get deeply involved with their life, and often they have another family member or are left to fend for themselves when in need of discipline and structure. This is a reality that Graham can definitely relate to. Graham and his father don't have necessarily a bad relationship, but they're not close either. While he respects his father's vision and success as an entrepreneur, he also doesn't have any particular fond memories from his childhood with his father because of the long hours his father worked to provide for the things that he and his family enjoyed. Deep down inside, he'd always wished that his father would just quit his job and spend more time with him. And oddly enough, Graham had an amazing relationship with his mother, and they were always very close. But as Graham grew older, he became the man that she relied upon because her husband was just never around. And when he was always too tired to do anything.
Mm.
And although his father did try to attend events, for the most part, he was basically an absentee father because he always had an obligation with work. And to this day, Graham resents his father's absence in his life and has promised himself that he will never put his work or anyone else before his children.
Yeah. this is something that I've experienced quite a lot with different clients. And I guess if we are looking at the same technique, perceptual positions, again, looking at the relationship, because he has acknowledged that he knew that his father was worked every hour God sent him in order to enable them to have a better life for his family. But I'd be quite curious as to how much he actually accepts that. It could be a learnt saying that he's said because of something that his mum has said to him again and again as he's been growing up. And so I'd look into how much he actually believes that. And with his own view of how he'll never put his family or his children work in front of them, that's, you know, it's a positive that he's come out with there. I'd look into it and maybe explore his feelings around that and depending on how much of a strong charge he's got attached to it. One thing that we don't want him to have is that he might look at missing opportunities within his career because of the risk of feeling that he doesn't want to not be able to be there for his children. I'm not suggesting that he does that, but maybe looking at what's acceptable to him so that if a job was to come available, then he'd know what exactly he wants from his work-life balance. And that would be a way just to work with him from a more future-orientated side. And then we'd look into his relationship with his father. Again, looking at things he wants to say, things that he hasn't said to him. And maybe look at the relationship between him and his mother as well. He'd mentioned that his mother relied on him a lot.
Mm.
So it could be that some of the problem that he's got with his mother, with his father, is because of the he's resenting the fact that he was relied on so much towards his mother, especially if his mother was not keeping him in, because it's not the right word I'm looking for, but because she was needing him to be at home, he wasn't able to be out as often with his friends or get up to the things that his friends were doing at that age. So it could be that there's more complexity around it. And that we might need to look at the relationship with his mum and whether there's any guilt or anything that's around that he's passing over onto his father. So we'd look down those lines. And again, I'd probably do the perceptual positions with him and his mother. Maybe having position two is having two spaces and look at each one separately, one as his father and one as his mother, and seeing what the whole dynamics were within the family.
The last question that I want to ask you in regards to relationships, especially with your father, I just want to throw this one at you. How would someone who, I'll give you a little bit of background, they didn't exactly have the greatest relationship with their father, and now that they're older,
mm-hmm.
their father, they've been trying to maintain a positive, amicable relationship, you know, keeping the father at arm's length. But the thing is that the father is still trying to play the same games, the controlling games that he has played throughout this person's entire life, and uses his wealth in order to get his way, especially with the children of, you know, this particular person. Now, if the father, in this case, has become now a grandfather, tries using whatever means he can to still maintain that control, mm-hmm. how can you help someone through resolving those issues, especially with NLP?
We'd use the same technique again. We'd look at perceptual positions so that we can get the different perspectives around the behaviours that his father is doing, both towards him and towards his grandchildren, his children. We'd from that we'd look at how they both communicate towards each other, look at the language that they use and their different personality traits. So it could be that they've got complete opposites of the spectrum when it comes to their personality traits. So we'd look at recognizing the sons and then for the son to recognize his father's personality trait and then teach the son language that he would need to use in order to be able to communicate effectively with his father. So if I give an example of a direction filter, which is when they say that people have either got an away from or towards direction filter. This is commonly known as the carrot and the stick. You either move towards a goal that you want or you move away from something that you don't want. So the towards being the carrot and the away from being the stick. So if his father is particularly goal-orientated and forward-thinking, towards-thinking, for example, whereas the son is more away from thinking and avoiding things, it could be that the son needs to change his language so that he's talking in a way that would be more motivational to his father and getting to communicate on the same wavelength. Another example of this is whether you're internally or externally referenced.
Mm-hmm.
If you're internally referenced, you just know yourself that you've done a good job, and it doesn't matter what people say, if you have good feedback or bad feedback, you know that what you've done is the right thing to do. If you've got an external filter, then other people need to be telling you that you've done a good job.
Mm.
So it sounds possibly that his father could be quite internally referenced and he knows what's right, which is often a personality trait that you notice in people that are more controlling. And it's not there for a negative reason, it's their makeup, it's the way they're formed, if you will. And they'll say things and they'll do things just there and then because they know it's right. Whereas other people that are externally would want to check whether it's right and get other people's opinions first. So if a lot of his controlling behaviour is because he's internally referenced, it might be that the son needs to start changing his language in a way of saying to his father not to do something, but then giving his father the decision back to him. So it could be that, you know, this is my opinion, la 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 la, Dad.
Mm.
I know, though, that you know the right thing to do, and from that you'll make the right decision. So you're almost, in a way, I suppose, you're praising their personality and saying that, you know, bigging them up, I suppose, but by doing that, you're softening the fact that you don't agree with what they're doing. And they'll listen to that because you've said that they know the right thing to do. So it could be a way that we look at the different languages that they use and how that results in a behaviour between the two of them. And if it's a case that their relationship's still causing difficulties, we'd look at possibly the confidence and a look at events that have happened in the past and almost like looking at possibly early warning signs before they were to happen again, so that the son would feel more in control of the situation rather than waiting for it to happen.
Thank you. I mean, it's just amazing that, I mean, it seems very simple, like a very simple solution, but when you actually go through it, I know myself, I had the pleasure of working actually with you with NLP, and it was just amazing that the feeling that I had, I kind of felt like somebody just rototilled my own emotions, and it was great on the one hand that, you know, all the stuff that was just deeply buried in there mm-hmm. came up, and I also found that it was very liberating and very freeing because, you know, whenever you till your soil, you have a fresh patch of land to work with, and, you know, it's a whole new planting experience. So, you know, when the issues keep coming up, and an issue, to me, identify with it as being like a weed, what I do is I choose to just pull it out and say, okay, this is something that's associated with this core issue, and inevitably the weeds do go away because I'm planting different things and, you know, maintaining my soil, so to speak. And I just think that NLP is just remarkable for all sorts of different things. And, you know, Donna, your work is tremendous. And, you know, I am very fortunate, especially with the success of the Organic View radio show and all the different folks that I've had the pleasure of working with and interviewing. I've worked with some very prominent people that are healers and have done significant work to help people. And the thing is that with NLP, from the research that I've done on it, some people, like with anything, they've used it for not so good things. But the bottom line is that when it comes to dealing with core issues, if you look at the different prominent psychologists that have really impacted our educational system.
Oh, yeah.
And you take a look at what NLP does, it really forces you to take a look at different perspectives. And I think only with the knowledge that comes with it are we able to really understand the issue. And I think when you come to terms with an issue and you can understand the why,
yeah,
only then can we really put it to rest and move forward and truly heal. So, you know, it's just tremendous, all the things that you're doing. Now, Donna, you have a series of workshops that are coming up in July and August. Can you just take a moment to share that information with our audience?
Yes, certainly. There's three workshops that we've got planned at the moment. The first one is on the 28th of July, and it's a workshop where I'm looking to look at language patterns and the perceptual positions technique we've talked about today, looking at, in a way, it's influencing and recognising patterns of behaviour. And by that, it's the way I'm teaching the workshop is in a way that you'll be able to recognise your own patterns of behaviour, recognise that in others, look at the relationship dynamics and how you can use that to enhance your business, your marketing strategies, your state sales strategies. That will be one of the workshops. The second workshop is on the 4th of August, which is the following Saturday. And within that workshop, we're going to be looking at relationships more in a, relationships more in a formal setting. So it would be, again, relationships within work, whether it be work or personal relationships, and how you can use the tools of NLP, especially the language tools, the perceptual positions techniques, in order to develop teams and to change relationships in order to envision your own success. The third workshop that we're doing is on the 11th of August, which again is the following Saturday. And with that one, we're looking at more along the self-help and recognising the dynamics of a relationship. And from that, again, we'll be using similar techniques, but we'll be applying them in different ways. And by using that through the sets of the workshops that I'll be doing, I'll be applying the techniques in different settings so that you can see how you can use them in multiple ways. One thing that I found with NLP, my agenda when I started was to use it within healthcare. And the more I do and the more people I meet, the more I realise that the realms of NLP are endless, whether it's parenting, teaching, police, healthcare, business, leadership, management, sales, the list just goes on and on and on. But we will be looking on the third one, particularly more around your self-help, so we're very much focusing on the person as an individual and other techniques that we can use to look at possible limiting beliefs that you've developed or any illnesses that you're carrying with you.
Thank you, Donna. I mean, the workshops sound absolutely wonderful. And now to find somebody who truly knows what they're doing is not easy. I know personally I've been very careful when working with different professional people. And it's interesting, some of the folks that are out there that claim to be experts, and when you take a look at their background and everything, it's just a little bit too unstable. And what I appreciate the most is that you're not only a medical professional, a certified and well-educated medical professional, but the fact is that you come from a place where you began working with people who are truly in need of care. I mean, when you have liver damage or liver issues, that is a life or death type situation that is not pleasant. And the fact that you came from there and are expanding your scope of different things that you can do to help other people, I think is tremendous. So, you know, it's been wonderful talking to you and just learning more about the work that you do, Donna. And it's such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you. It's an honor to be on the show with you.
And Donna, can you also give our audience your website?
Yes, it's www.inspirationalsolutions-nlp.co.uk.
Thank you so much. And folks, please check out Donna's book, which is also absolutely fabulous. And it's just amazing all the different things that you can do with NLP to deal with phobias, to deal with relationship issues, all different things. And as always, it's a pleasure to have you on the show, Donna.
Thank you very much.
And folks, this has been June Stoyer with the Organic View Radio Show. Have a wonderful weekend. And to the fathers out there, happy Father's Day.